Can I just say, his heart hasn't stopped coming after you? Where you are right now, maybe you're in the midst of just fear, concern, worry, dread about the future, challenges, the difficulties surrounding you. Listen, whatever it is that you're walking through, going through, feeling, his heart is coming after you because his heart is good and he only has good for you. Listen, he wants to take, picture with me if you will, this is just a word for many of you this morning. He wants to take those valleys and just fill them in and raise them up. He wants to take those mountains and level them. He wants to take that crooked path and make it straight. He wants to lead you and guide you into all his goodness. He has so much more for you. Do not let the things of this world distract you from what he has for you. Because his heart is for you.
Yes. I really feel like God is, he just loves us so much. You know, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is amazing. And in the world that we live in right now, there is a lot of change. And a lot of, we make decisions and then we only have to change the decisions and then we change them again. And then it just seems crazy. But God, the Lord, is the same. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is the one that gives us strength and joy and peace. Not the news, as we know, not what we're going through. He is so with us. I just want to pray for us this morning that regardless of what you may be going through, I was just thinking about Moses on the backside of the desert. You know, he had tried to do what God had called him to do in his own strength. You know, he killed an Egyptian or he killed a Jewish brother. I forgot. Anyway, it was an Israelite. So, he was left all he knew. And so he was discouraged. He was on the backside of the desert. But God came. And he does, doesn't he? On the backside of the desert where we may be. Confusion, fearful, not understanding. God comes for us if we turn. If we turn. I really believe this is a season of turning. I believe this is a season of repositioning. I believe that God is moving. You may not see him moving, but he is moving. He is moving. He is moving. He is moving in your home. The other day, I got up with my dog. I love my dog. Hallelujah. I got up with him and we worshiped Jesus together, me and the puppy. We worshiped Jesus in the kitchen. It's where I meet Jesus, in the kitchen. And I want to encourage you this morning, meet him. He's there. He's not far away. You know, it says in the Word of God that if I make my bed in hell, even you're there. You see, darkness is not dark to God. Darkness is even light to him. That's what it talks about in Psalm. I love that. You may feel like you're in a dark place, but let Jesus come. The entrance of his word brings light, and he is coming. And so, Father, we love you this morning. We thank you, God, that you are a rock.
Yes.
You are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
You are faithful.
Yes.
We worship you this morning. We
yes.
position ourselves before
yes.
you in surrender.
Yes.
We may not understand, but God, we know in whom we trust.
Yes.
And that is you. That is you. We trust you. We trust you with our family. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with our future.
Yes.
Because you said in your word that you have a future and a hope for us.
Yes.
You have good things for us.
Yes.
This world may seem it's fallen apart, but God, you are the same. You are the God that holds us in the palm of your hand. You have engraved our names in the palm of your hand. We are loved by you. We are loved by you. We are chosen by you. Father, it says that you hold us in your hand. The enemy cannot pluck us out. Father, I thank you, Lord. And I really believe this is a season for the prodigals to start turning back home.
Yes.
Turning, Lord God. They're turning.
Yes.
The darkness is lifting because, God, you are light.
Yes.
Father, we call them back home in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, God. This is a season, Lord. You're bringing your people to a new place in you, God. A new clarity, a new hope, a new strength. We receive that this morning, God.
Yes.
We thank you that you are with us and you are for us.
Yes.
And we trust you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord strong
Hallelujah.
Praise in this place today? Give him strong praise. Amen. Before you're seated this morning, turn around and give somebody an air high five, an air knuckle bump.
Yeah.
A germ-free smile. How about that? Keep that social distance out there. We got our masks on today. We're obeying the orders. We're making sure we're keeping everybody safe.
Uh-oh.
Hey, by the way, on a very serious note, of course, want to pray this morning for some of our dear friends, Rick and Gina, who've been tested positive with COVID, and our dear brother James, who's in the process of being tested and getting his results. So we want to pray for them this morning. Would you join me in a word of prayer for them? Father,
yes.
We just ask for your healing touch upon our,
yes, God,
our brothers and our sister. And
yes,
Lord, I'm sure there are many more that are represented here that people know that are suffering. Lord, I just was told a pastor here in town has been diagnosed. Lord, I just pray also for him. His name's Jeff. Lord, touch him and touch each of these, Father, with your healing power, and eradicate that virus and bring life to their bodies and raise them up, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Welcome this morning to New Song Louisville. We're happy you're here. Tell us about the Harvest Project, sweetheart.
No, guys, you know, the Lord is faithful to us. He really is. And so we support many ministries internationally, also locally with the Harvest Project. And we thank you so much for your faithful giving. Mm-hmm. You know, when this, a lot of churches and a lot of places are not right now, they're struggling. The Lord has blessed us. Thank you for your faithful giving. And
that's right. That's a miracle. We're very thankful for that.
It is.
A lot of churches have had a downturn. You guys have been very faithful.
Yes.
So
thank
you for your continued giving.
Yes.
And to the Harvest Project, people have been faithful on that. We're thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's an easy way to give through PushPay. The instructions right there on the screen. And let's pray over offerings today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, bless the gift and the giver. And we just praise you for this, for a way, Lord, to show our faith, a way, Lord, to make a difference. Just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, every day we're doing a little devotional on our New Song Facebook page and group. So check that out. Hope that's an encouragement to you. We had a kids' summer day coming up, but we're going to move that date since the governor's executive order, and hope that that'll be a better date to have that. So you know what, honey? I thought we'd just have a little bit of fun this morning. In a serious time like this, sometimes it's nice just to laugh a little bit. Amen? And the Bible says laughter is good medicine. And we need a little bit of laughing, a little bit of humor along the way. So we love our animals. We've got a new one. His name's Odie, and
Odie.
He is a crazy little guy. And
he
we're
is.
Having a lot of fun with that little
he
puppy.
He has zoomies about 8 o'clock at night.
Yes,
he
I love his zoomies. If you don't know what a zoomie is, that's when he just starts running at high speeds through your house. It's just the funnest thing.
He's like this
sliding
big,
into
and he's
doors
a
and chairs and everything else.
Yes.
It's crazy. So, you know, I ran across the thing. Animals having a worse day than you. You know, it's been a tough time for a lot of folks. And no animals were hurt in the making of these posts, I don't think. They were all rescued and turned out pretty good. But just kind of fun stuff for us to laugh at a little bit this morning. Like this one right here. My dog ran away. After hours of looking, I came home to this. So there he was, trying to get in. Couldn't quite get that door handle open. Or this one, this is interesting, because a little Odie the other night, he'd never lived through a 4th of July. And what happened, honey?
Oh, my word, guys. I waited until the last possible moment, and I took him outside to potty. About that time, a firework flew up in the air, exploded all over the sky. My dog ran faster to that door, never did go to the bathroom. Went inside, was shaking for about an hour. I had to hold him. I was like, I traumatized him. I was like praying over him.
Yes, exactly. He was not into the 4th of July.
No.
Like this guy right here. This is Ralph. He heard a firework. He's not sure if the world's ending. But if it is, he wanted to be with you. I don't know if you can tell, but he's in the tub with his owner there, looking a little distraught. I like this one. Here's to all the pit bull fans out there. Check this one out. My pit bull always thought he was the biggest dog at the dog park. I'm not sure what that beast is, but I wouldn't want him chasing me. I know that. And check out this poor mallard duck. My goodness. So this happened.
We don't know what happened.
I have no idea how that happened, but yes, I rescued it, so he turned out okay.
Wow.
Here's one for all you cat lovers out there. Cats are just, they're just, you know, quite unique animals. Look at this one. We actually had to help him down. You thought that was a good idea.
This reminds me of my sister's cat. Looks a little bit like her, honestly. Yes, Deborah.
Got a little bit of a pinch right there. Here's to all the Madagascar fans out there, right? Yep. Police apprehend penguins who keep sneaking into sushi restaurants. There they are. They caught them on film. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave, right? All right, well, enough fun stuff. Okay. Thank you, honey. Hey, this morning I want to start a series of messages called Choose Joy. So check out this little video. Well, I don't know about you, but in the midst of a world that seems to have gone crazy with all kinds of challenges, there's one thing that I know, and that's this, that you and I have the opportunity to choose joy. We can absolutely choose something different than fear, concern, anxiety, pressure, stress. It's a choice that we have. So over the next 4 weeks, I want to talk about choosing joy and four important choices that you and I have to make. I want to start this morning with Isaiah 61. This is a prophetic word about Jesus. He's going to pick up the scroll and read these very words at the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4. You'll see four things listed here that we talk about often as a church. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me because the Lord's anointed me to preach good tidings or good news. How many of you know we've been entrusted with the best news possible? The only news that will truly change a human heart. To the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. So preaching good tidings is helping people know God. Healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty and opening the prison is helping people find freedom. Let me skip down. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Listen, that's helping people discover their purpose. In those places in life where they felt beat down, there's redemption that God has for them. There's beauty in place of the ashes where they feel burned out and hopeless. There's an oil of joy that God wants to bring as they find the purpose he has for them, a garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness that'll be lifted off of them. And that is helping people discover their purpose. And then look at this. This is awesome, right? And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined city, the desolation of many generations. And that is making a difference. So we help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and then get to the business of making a difference in this world. Amen? We get to be the ones. They shall rebuild, raise up, repair. We get to be out there. We get to be doing all these things for God's glory. So this morning, I want to talk about choosing joy in a world that just seems full of chaos, full of confusion. It's a difficult time, certainly. But God is still the same. God is still on his throne. We still have a choice to make. Regardless of how difficult things might get around us, we don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be downtrodden. We can still choose to be full of joy and to be overcomers in Christ. It's literally a choice that you and I have. It's a choice. I heard a crazy joke about a kind of a squirrely guy who went to the doctor, and he was complaining to the doctor. He said, doctor, I just hurt all over. Ow! Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. And the doctor looked at him and said, buddy, you know what your problem is? He said, no, what is it? He said, you got a broken finger, man. Take care of that. You'll be fine. It won't hurt near as much. There's a choice that we have to make in this life. You can choose to be depressed or you can choose to have joy. And let me just tell you, Paul is a great example of making a choice that is available to us. In 2 Corinthians 6:10, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Always rejoicing. You know, sometimes when I'm going through a hard time, one of the things that I strangely find comfort in is going back and looking at the struggles that Paul went through in his ministry. Now, I don't know if you've reviewed that list lately, But he had a lot of trials in his life and ministry. In fact, scripture records that he took the lashes of Jesus 5 times. In other words, the 39 stripes that Jesus took upon his back to pay for your healing, Paul did that 5 times. Can you imagine that? The Bible goes on to say that not only that, he was beat by rods. These rods, they would beat them behind the legs. He was stoned. Now, for those of you who might be from Colorado, that does not mean recreationally, okay? I mean, you know, some of you were thinking, well, at least he got a little relief. No, no, no. It hurt bad, this stoning. Believe me. It hurt very bad. He was bitten by a snake. He was shipwrecked out in the deep. All these things. And yet, Paul says, you can always rejoice. There's always something you can focus on. There's always a joy deep within if you know Christ. Now, some of you have seen the video this past week. It's gotten well over 1 million hits now, of the 3 dreams by Pastor Dana Coverstone. If you haven't seen it, you might want to go check it out. And one of the things he says in that is brace yourself. There's 3 prophetic dreams there. By the way, I was interested when I saw this. Someone recommended it to me. I called up one of my best friends from the past. I said, do you know this guy? He said, yeah, I know him quite well. Preached for him in December. And he's a man of character. He's the real deal. So, you know, it's powerful stuff. Prepare if you're going to watch that. But let me just say, regardless of what happens in the days ahead, regardless of if things get worse, and they could. They could get more difficult. We may be living in the last days, folks. The Bible says in the last days, there will be perilous times. I would call these perilous times. How about you? And regardless, you and I have a choice to make. We can choose to be people of faith. We can choose to be people of joy. We can choose to be people who have a rock solid, unshakable trust in God. But let me just say this. We got to learn to do this stuff, folks. Listen, there's a malady, if you will, in the church. It's what I call rhetoric over reality. Do you know what that means? It means we talk a good game, but oftentimes we don't walk it out. We know more scripture than we're being obedient to. And I want to, you know, the genius of a sermon sometimes is not necessarily unfolding some new revelation, but sometimes it's just helping us really get a hold of a truth that will anchor us if we will live it out. And that's my hope and my prayer this morning. Tracy and I spent a good bit of time yesterday just interceding over each of you, is that we learn to do this stuff. If we do, it'll make all the difference in the world. So this morning, my prayer is that you will choose joy instead of sorrow, instead of anxiety, instead of depression, instead of worry, instead of stress, that you will choose joy. Paul made that choice, and I believe you and I can make it too. I want to give you 4 choices over the next 4 weeks, and one each Sunday that you and I can make together. And the first one this morning to have joy is we've got to choose prayer. One of the rally cries around here at New Song is pray first. Pray first. Don't pray last. Don't wait to pray. Begin to develop a habit, if you will, of calling out to God. Anytime something's going on in your life, big or small, make a habit of crying out to God. Make it your first resort. It should always be our first response, not our last resort. One guy was talking and he said, you know, well, maybe we should pray, you know, and the guy next to him said, has it come to that, you know? No, that is the wrong attitude, absolutely, church. The first thing we should do, regardless of the situation or circumstances, is we should cry out to our faithful God, amen? Don't do it last. Always, always, always do it first. I have my little bracelet that we gave out here at the church. Pray first. I wear it all the time. My wife can tell you. I keep it on because I want to remember. I want to have it right in front of me that if I'm going to walk with God, I've got to develop a pattern of always praying first over everything and anything in my life. The Bible, in fact, says you ought to pray continually. You know what that means? It means to live in a state of prayerfulness, a state of God awareness, a state of intimacy and communion with God, where throughout the day you're just praying. It's just a natural thing that as difficulties come your way or challenges approach you, that, you know, it's not some big thing for you just to cry out to God. No, you're in constant communication and communion with Him throughout the day. So this morning I want to look at a chapter in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. This is a prison letter, and when I use the term prison, let me just say, in reality, this is a dungeon that Paul is trapped in, imprisoned in. It's a horrible place. And in the book of Philippians, 27 times the Apostle Paul uses the word joy or rejoice. A man who's imprisoned, who's in shackles, and his most favorite word is joy and rejoice. And I love that. Look at Philippians 4, verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. You know, anytime the Bible reiterates something like that, it's so that you and I get it, right? Rejoice. Rejoice. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. You and I have got a lot of reasons in this life to rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Man, see, there's that continual prayer and that communion, that constant communion with God that Paul had. He knew the Lord was with him right there in that dungeon. So, five things prayer produces. Let me start with this one. Prayer replaces worry. Prayer replaces worry. Yesterday, as we were wrestling with this whole mask thing, and we brought our mask today, and we're doing our part to social distance and to keep everybody safe, and we know this is a serious thing, but I knew many people were going to be worried, many people were going to be stressed out by the mask order, and then word of some of our folks getting COVID and things happening and the virus spiking and all these things, Tracy and I, instead of worrying, we began to intercede for you. We're just right there in our kitchen, in fact, where Tracy was talking about, pulled up some chairs and just began to weep and pray for you and just cry out to God for you. And we love to do this. And It's just one of our favorite things and favorite times, just to cry out on behalf of you and to pray God's blessing on you, to pray God's peace on you, to pray God's protection over you. And you know what? We could have gotten worried. We absolutely could have. But, you know, and here's what worry does. Worry chokes the life right out of you. Worry is not of God. We as God's people are to choose to pray instead of worry. Look at what Philippians 4:6 says. Don't be anxious about anything. And you know what? You look that word up in the Greek, guess what it means? Anything. Fill in the blank. Don't be anxious about the virus. Don't be anxious about your finances. Don't be anxious about your lost loved ones. Don't be anxious about the future. You fill it in, whatever it is. Listen, God says don't be anxious about it. But look at what he says. But in every situation, by prayer. What's the solution to not being anxious? Be a person of prayer. This is exactly what the verse is saying. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray. In other words, if you pray, you don't have to be anxious. You're making a trade. You're taking those things that would be a source of anxiety for you, and you're entrusting it now to God. And you don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to fret over it anymore. See, here's what worry does. Worry borrows from the future. Worry literally steals from you. Worry ends up costing you emotions that you don't need to be expending. We wear ourselves out with worry, and that's not what God wants for us. Listen, anytime you begin to even feel inclined to worry, you start to get a little anxious, you start to get concerned about something, let that be a prompter to pray. Let that be absolutely a signal to you that what you need to do is not rehearse those thoughts. No, you need to take them to God. You need to pray. Philippians 4:6 in the message says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. Isn't that cool? Letting God know your concerns. Jesus speaks to this very thing. Matthew 6, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Listen, here's a thought for you this morning. What we worry about the most reveals where we trust God the least. So let worry be a barometer, kind of an indicator to you. That's an area you need to give over to the Lord and trust Him in. Number two, prayer relinquishes control. And this goes so hand in hand with the first point. Let me just say, some of us in this world today, it seems like there's more and more of us, are control freaks, right? Trying to control everything. Trying to make sure things turn out the way we hope. Trying to make sure everything goes the way we plan. Trying to control things, even sometimes controlling the people around us. Let me just give you kind of an announcement here today. You're not doing a good job controlling things. So you might as well relinquish your control issues to God. I mean, you do realize that, right? There's not a one of you who've been able to control this virus that has come upon us at all. Now, you've been able to pray into it, and that makes a difference, but you can't control it. And prayer relinquishes control. You have to relinquish control, and you do that by giving those things over to God. Now, here's part of the problem that a lot of us who have control issues face. We kind of want to give it to God, but we kind of want to co-control it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, let me just remind you, though, giving it to God is so freeing. Some of us even, you know, we struggle so much in this area, we want to pray, but then we want to tell God how to do it even. You know, I don't know. There's something there that doesn't want to let go. Let me just say, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, that is a powerful verse. Now, let me ask you a question here this morning. How in the world, what is the sign that you have truly relinquished something to God? What's the sign? How do you know? Well, it's right here. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, let me put it this way. You've just prayed, but you don't feel and sense the peace of God that transcends all understanding. In fact, you're still struggling with worry. Have you really relinquished it to God? Have you really given it over to Him? Or are you still trying to co-control it like we talked about? The peace that passes all understanding is the sign you've truly relinquished it to God. You've truly given it to Him. You've truly let go of it. 1 Peter 5, 7 says it this way, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And that word in Greek literally means to throw it on Him, to download it to Him, to give it to Him. You can throw whatever it is that's weighing you down, that is causing you to be burdened and anxious, you can throw it to God. Now, I brought a little prop here with me today. And in a minute, I'm going to throw this thing over to my wife. And I thought I'd bring something kind of soft and cushy today so I wouldn't hurt her. The other day, I threw a football at her, and I think I almost hurt her. I didn't mean to do that, baby. I promise. But my youngest daughter probably has, we haven't been able to verify this yet, but we think she may have the largest stuffed animal collection in the world. So I went out into my garage where there are bags literally of millions of stuffed animals, it seems that way, and I found this guy because I was trying to find something for my example here this morning that might be symbolic in some way, shape, or form. So, because we're going to cast this on the Lord here in a moment, but I want to show you something about it. But anybody catch the symbolism? It's kind of a tricky one, you know, sloth, one of the original seven deadly sins. Anyway, okay, all right. You may not have got that. That's okay. That really is okay. But here's the thing. 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Phillips translation, I love this, says you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him, for you are His personal concern. But here's what a lot of us do. God, I'm going to give this to you. God, I'm going to cast that to you. But I don't know. I kind of like holding on to it a little bit myself. And you know, I think maybe I need to be involved. I think, you know, here, Lord. And we kind of jerk it back. We kind of hold on to it. But the Bible's saying, throw this thing. Oh, good job, baby. I'll give my wife a hand. She got a good catch there. Amen. Amen. We let go of it. We relinquish it. Relinquish means to let go. Let go and let God. So here's what I'm instructing the ushers today. Our ushers are very spiritual people, and they're going to be discerning today, right? Because none of you have to walk out the door today with worries or anxiety or concerns. You can throw them onto God today and let him carry it. Amen? So the ushers are going to just be checking you at the door, make sure you're not going out of here with any heavy burdens that you haven't cast on the Lord. Amen? So prayer relinquishes control. Number three, prayer regulates our thinking. Prayer regulates our thinking. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back because I want to pray over you guys. Yeah, right here. Paul's benediction over the Romans. I want to pray it over you this morning if you'll allow me. Romans 15:13. Here we go. May the God of hope fill you, people of God. Fill you, people of God, with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you people of God, will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Number three, prayer regulates our thinking. Now, I'm just going to shoot straight here for a minute, folks. Let me just say this. We have way too much junk coming into our hearts and our minds these days if we are not extremely vigilant and very careful. And some of you, well, you know, Pastor Jeff, and I'm talking about all the different social media things, all the different TV things now, Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and who knows and whatever else. I don't know. All that stuff, Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, and I don't know, I can't even keep up with all this stuff. And some people are saying, well, you know, I've learned how to filter out all the trash. Can I just say, you're probably being pretty naive there. You probably don't realize the influence and the effect of violence and sex and sexual innuendo and all kinds of things that are happening, all kinds of worldly stuff that's just bombarding your eyes, your heart, your senses, your spirit. And here's what happens. The spirit of this world just lulls us to sleep spiritually. Lulls us to the place that we're becoming drowsy. We're becoming less and less discerning. We're becoming less and less sharp spiritually. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to see how close I can get to the cliff without falling over. Last year when I was in Yosemite with my friend Gary, and before we hiked up Half Dome, we hiked to a place called Taft's Point. You can look it up. It's a beautiful spot, and it's one of the most popular picture places because it's a 3,500-foot high vista over the valley of Yosemite. And some people, they go to this spot, and it's a little rock outcropping there, and they see how close they can get to the edge. In fact, this one couple, a little Indian couple who were popular social media posters, they were getting so close. Some of the people standing around were so nervous. They were watching, and news reports about this, and sure enough, they got too close, and they fell off the edge 800 feet to their deaths. Listen, here's prayer regulates our thinking. Look at Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Now, let me ask you a question. Where do you do that kind of thinking? Here's my answer. In prayer. In prayer. When you truly come and you begin to get in God's presence, listen, God begins to purge out all the worldly thoughts, all the negative thoughts, all the other thoughts. Prayer is not just God coming down. Prayer is also God lifting us up into that heavenly place, that wonderful place where we're meeting with him, where he begins to change our thoughts, where our thoughts begin to transform. Some of you here this morning, this is a serious day that we're living in. Some of you may want to seriously consider before the Lord a social media fast. Whatever doors you've opened where the enemy is trying to influence you and lull you asleep, you may need to close those doors. You may need to be fasting some things. We as a people need to absolutely make sure we're clean before God. Colossians 3:2 says this, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And sometimes we find ourselves, if we're not careful, if we're not evaluating ourselves closely, we find that our thoughts are primarily earthly thoughts, not heavenly thoughts. C.S. Lewis said it this way, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Now's a good time, folks, quite honestly, to kind of reset our prayer lives and to make sure we are where we need to be with God. Number four, prayer reveals contentment. Prayer reveals contentment. Sometimes we go into prayer and quite honestly, we go in kind of with a fairly selfish, self-focused perspective. God, I need this, I need this, I need this. That's kind of our mentality. But here's what happens, I find, if I stay in that place of prayer, if I persist in that place of prayer very long, I start to realize something very deep and significant, and that is this, that God is truly all I need. David says it this way, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. Philippians 4:12, Paul says, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty, but I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Let me ask you another question, church. Where do you learn that secret? Where do you learn the secret of contentment? It's in prayer, before God. In that secret place with Him where you enter into deep, real, intimate communion with God. I'm not just talking about a little two-minute hit and run with God. I'm not just talking about some little prayer thing that doesn't get into His presence. Where's your secret place? Where's that place where you go to meet with Him and you stay until you do? That should be your goal every day. Some people want to kind of legislate what a quiet time looks like. Let me just say this. I don't care how much time you spend there. Here's what I care about. Did you meet with God? Did you experience Him? Whether it's 3 minutes, 30 minutes, or 3 hours, I don't care about the time. I care about, did you come into His presence? Did you feel His presence? Did he warm your heart with His Spirit? Did you experience Him? That's what your prayer time and your prayer life should look like. That's why in Psalm 23:1, David could say, the Lord's my shepherd. I have all that I need. This is a man who practiced being in God's presence. So this leads us to the point, I will trust in riches. I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. The other things of the world, they don't satisfy. God is the one who satisfies, but we need to know how to be in His presence. Number five, this is our last one. Prayer relies on God. Where I genuinely have a need, I can confess in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And it's not just I can confess that. It's also He will do it. Look at Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I can and He will. I can come before you, Lord. I can trust you, Lord. Here's a little bit of homework for you today as we close out our time together. Proverbs 16, verse 20 says this, those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. I want you to memorize that scripture. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your computer screensaver. I don't know where you put it, but put it where you can memorize it. It's short. It's easy, but it'll be a help and an anchor to you in days where it's difficult. Proverbs 16, 20, say it with me. Those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Amen. That is a good promise to grab hold of today. So here's my last thought. Prayer doesn't always move God toward us. Prayer moves us toward God. So where's your secret place? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you trading in anxieties for joy? Are you allowing God to come and warm your heart? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Because He wants you to choose joy. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I want to pray over you today. Father, I just thank you right now that we all have a choice. And I pray for these precious people, those that are here in the room and those that are watching, that God, they make a choice today to trade in their sorrows, to trade in their anxieties, to trade in their depression, to trade in their fear, to trade in whatever it is that's burdening them down, and to trade it for the joy of God, to receive this morning the joy of the Lord. I want to pray over some of you today. There's a spirit of heaviness that's trying to push you down and hold you down. Lord, in Jesus' name, break that heaviness off my brothers and sisters right now. And Lord, free them and give them in place of it a garment of praise, a spirit of joy before you, Lord, singing out praise to your great name. And Lord, thank you for hearing us today. We choose joy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you for tuning in today. Hope this word was a blessing to you. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to stand with me. There's a great song that has been blessing my wife and I for the last couple of months. We love this one. It's called The Blessing. As we leave today, I'm just going to pray over you the lyrics of the song, okay? And we're going to have the worship team do it at some point, sing it over you. But let me pray this over you as we leave today. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. May His favor be upon you and 1,000 generations, your family and your children and their children and their children. And as we receive, we agree. Amen, amen, and amen. Would you say amen? God bless you. Let's celebrate the Lord. Have a great day. Thanks for coming.